With a quick glance at the clock, I realise there are still another 20 minutes till the lesson is over. 20 minutes of eternity. And, Petra, what kind of food do you like to cook? I ask. It was never my dream or plan to become an English teacher, but after 4 months' unemployment, the advert saying that Berlitz was looking for teachers was almost too good to be true. The training course was only 2 weeks long, and as soon as we were finished, we could start teaching. Even so, I spent the first few weeks glancing at the door and expecting the ponytailed guy who'd run the course to come rushing in and breathlessly exclaim, "It was only a joke. Of course you're not allowed to teach. We were just having a laugh," before throwing me out onto the street and escorting the student to safety. That was when I was still sitting up late every evening preparing the next day's lessons. I carefully drew up lesson plans, making sure each class was varied and entertaining. I made copies of interesting articles, wrote down questions, drafted inoffensive role plays, and laminated photos that would lead into relevant themes for discussion, all to get my students speaking as much English as possible. Now they're lucky if I even glance at their information cards before entering the room. This minor rebellion on my part started the day I realised I'd been teaching for significantly longer than the 6 months I'd planned, and, even worse, that I was good at it. I was both patient, who'd have thought that would be the main ingredient for a good language teacher, and had a knack for getting my students to speak English. Now that I've stopped planning my lessons and they've become a mystery to both me and my students, life has become a bit more exciting. "Oh, everything. Schnitzel, sausages," says Petra. "Complete sentences," I say encouragingly. "I like to cook schnitzel and sausages," Petra says obediently. Because the basic rule of the Berlitz method is that you can learn a language through everyday conversation, I can keep a lesson going for as long as I can come up with things to talk about. My 3 years as an English teacher have turned me into an expert in small talk. Once I got a student to talk about the lock he changed on his garage door for a quarter of an hour, just to see if I could. "And what's your favourite drink?" I ask. Petra considers. "Tap water." "Complete sentences," I repeat with a strained smile. "My favourite drink is tap water," Petra says. I continue to smile at her, because I genuinely have no idea what to say to someone whose favourite drink is tap water. For the final 15 minutes, we do a cookery-themed crossword. When the bell rings, I let out a little pretend sigh and turn down the corners of my mouth to show how sad I am that we have to finish. We shake hands, of course, and Petra disappears off home, probably to a dinner consisting of schnitzel and sausages, washed down with a glass of tap water. Everyone crams into the tiny staff room so as to avoid any contact with the students during the five-minute break. On the walls, there are Berlitz posters with multicultural faces and sentences followed by exclamation marks. The three bookshelves are full of Berlitz's in-house magazine, Passport, and some Spanish, French, and Russian textbooks that appear to be completely untouched. The English books, on the other hand, are so battered that most of them are missing their spines or are held together with tape. None of the Berlitz staff are real teachers. Mike's an out-of-work actor. Jason's finishing his PhD on Schoenberg. Claire used to work in marketing. Randall's a graphic designer. Sarah's a civil engineer. Rebecca's a violin maker. Karen has a degree in media and communication. And I still dream of one day becoming an author. The only one who's a trained teacher is Ken, so he's hated almost as much as Dagmar, the administrator at our Berlitz branch on Maria Hilferstrasse. Ken stalks into the staff room. "Ooh, busy, busy," he says cheerfully, trying to squeeze his way through to the photocopier holding open a grammar book. Everyone ignores him. At the window, Mike and Claire huddle together, trying to smoke through a gap of about a centimetre. "Now,